Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. Chris Meaney, Ashley Docking here with you as always.
Happy
to talk
Monday.
About some football as always because yeah. As you said, it's Monday and Sunday is always, always crazy for fantasy owners and for everyone here at the network because there's a lot to get to. A ton of injuries this week, actually, more than we've been used to dealing with since the beginning of the season when every single running back seemed to get hit by that invisible sniper that seems to be in the stands and just man down all across the board.
There's a couple in the NBA and hockey we're avoiding too, but we'll get to that later on in the week.
Absolutely. So we'll give you some fill-ins for those guys and for other sports as well, as Chris mentioned. But today, hyper football focus. We're talking to Adam Azer from CBS Sports. He's going to talk about some of the guys that went down, where you can plug and play if you're in your playoffs for your season long, and also some DFS options that might be chalky at this point, but can you afford not to have Bilal Powell in your lineup? Would you have thought we said that earlier this year? I don't know. We'll see what Adam has to say about it. But first, we're going to talk about Mr. Le'Veon Bell, who basically beat the Bills all by himself, Chris.
He did. He had 298 total yards, and the Bills had 275. So, yeah, he did. And that's the second time this year Buffalo's allowed a 200-yard rusher. We just have to give some props to Le'Veon Bell. I know Ashley and I were talking earlier last week about, you know, who is the number one, who's the number one pick.
Yeah.
We're talking about David Johnson, just kind of going back to RB strategy off the top of drafts. And you know what? I think maybe I have to change my mind from DJ from one to Le'Veon Bell. The only reason why I did say that is because, you know, Le'Veon Bell's got the whole marijuana thing and the whole bad boy persona to him, that if he gets caught token up again, maybe, you know, he's out for 10 games.
Yeah.
That's not what you want. But Le'Veon Bell, 128 yards per game, that's scrimmage yards per game. That's the most in NFL history. Jim Brown, 125.5. He's got right now 16 scrimmage yards in 10 games. He was suspended 3 games, mind you, too.
Yeah.
And the most since 1963, where Jim Brown had 1,700. So again, he's awesome. He catches the ball. He touched the ball like 40 times yesterday.
Yeah.
He touches the ball all the time. So it is what it is. Le'Veon Bell, we're not here sitting here telling you that Le'Veon Bell is awesome, that you didn't know that. He's great. Just continue to ride him, and he's just wicked.
That's wicked.
He's number one. To do it, the most fantasy points all season long in a game, and to do it week 14, he single-handedly won you championships. I went up against Le'Veon Bell in a standard league, and I put up 125 points, and I still lost because I went up against Le'Veon Bell, who put up like 48. So he's just wicked.
And he really just took things over because Ben Roethlisberger was not good.
He's not good. Again, he can't do anything on the road.
He can't do anything, and the snow was a huge factor, and it was just interesting because the game script would lead you to believe that the Bills, the number one rushing offense in the league, that would be the problem, but Bell completely flipped the script, and he had the most rushing yards in franchise history.
Yeah.
He also gave the Bills a new record, but not one that they really want to have claim to, that he had the most yards against the Bills in their franchise history.
Oof.
And then he also surpassed O.J. Simpson for the most yards in the first 10 games of a season, even though he was suspended by 3. So it was all around a historic day.
So is Rex Ryan fired today?
No,
yeah,
probably not.
Just rumors.
No.
He's probably fired after the year.
He'll be fine, probably after the season for sure, though.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, who thought that he would be as quotable as he is? Last year, I believe it was, he gave us the relax.
Then he said he was going to win out.
Then he said, I'm going to run the table. And you know what? Both times, he's come through. Since week 7, he's been one of the top quarterbacks in the league in completion, in air passing yards, in touchdowns. He's really just turned things around for himself and the Green Bay Packers. He had a hamstring injury, and now he left in the fourth quarter in their game yesterday with what is being called a calf injury. He said it's one of those compensatory injuries that just caused himself to hurt this calf because he was maybe nursing his hamstring a little bit. But he said he's going to be fine, and you know what? I believe him because he hasn't lied to us in the last 2 years when he told us to relax.
Yeah.
He was right. He said he's going to run the table. They're well on their way. They haven't scored less than 21 points a game since he said that. 3 games left. I think they have the Vikings. They have Detroit. And then
they got Chicago. I mean, he's fine, and I believe him.
Yeah.
He lied to us once, Ashley. He said that Ryan Braun was a good guy, and he didn't cheat, and he didn't lie. And well, we all know he's a big liar there.
Everyone makes mistakes.
He's good to go. Maybe he doesn't run around as much as we're used to seeing. But, yeah, good on the Packers. I mean, they're rolling. This team can go 10-6 and still miss the playoffs, and that's how competitive right now it is in the NFC. And this is really quarterback injuries, and this is just the start of them. We'll go right next with Matthew Stafford, a player that I don't think I would play now. You know, he's got some torn ligaments in his finger. He's
going
to wear a glove. That's never a good sign. It doesn't make me like Marvin Jones anymore. I haven't been playing that guy for weeks. Golden Tate, all of the guys in the offense to me get a little bit of a downtick. It's not like they can run the ball either. Theo Riddick was a late scratch yesterday. Dwayne Washington was okay carrying. He had like 65, 66 yards and 16 carries. This isn't a team that runs the ball well, and they haven't done it for years. I can't even remember the last time they had an elite rushing attack. But Matthew Stafford, there's a lot of quarterbacks here, Ashley, that have bad matchups, like in week 15. Got Brady in Denver, you got Ben in Cincy, you got Luck against Minnesota, you got Stafford against the Giants, which is not great. Then he's got Dallas next, it's not great. And then Breeze against Arizona. So you're going to have to probably dig deep. We'll get to that maybe tomorrow, talk about some quarterbacks you can just pick off the waiver wire and just play. Maybe it's Matt Moore. Let's just segue to him. So Ryan Tannehill is another guy who got hurt yesterday.
Yeah, and honestly, it was really, really tough to watch. Like, I like to make light of a lot of situations and just joke around a little bit. It's a bit in my personality. But this is something that you almost thought it was a funeral, to be quite frank. The way that he was reacting, the way that his teammates were reacting around him, the way that they were talking after the game, it's not good. The MRI hasn't confirmed that it's a torn ACL just yet, but that is what everyone is expecting to come out the news today. So Tannehill, he's going to be done for the season, which means Matt Moore is going to come in his place. He went 3 of 5 for 47 yards on the game-winning drive in a sloppy game. It was raining all over the place. There was a ton of turnovers. The biggest takeaway, though, in that game was Kenny Stills being Matt Moore's favorite target. Hooked up with him twice on that game-winning drive, I believe it was. And so Kenny Stills might get a little bit of an uptick. And from everyone that we're talking to, you know, Matt Moore seems serviceable. I mean, he's going to be fine. I think that it means that Jay Ajayi might have to step up a little bit more. He had an okay day, but Tannehill fumbled a snap on the 2-yard line, which was seemingly going to Ajayi, and then he scored a touchdown, which was called back because of a holding call. So his day could have been great, but I think they're going to need to really lean on him a little bit more with Moore in place.
Yeah, we'll talk to Adam about what he thinks. I think everyone in the offense takes a little bit of a downtick, even Ajayi. I mean, this guy may touch the ball a little bit more, Ashley, you're right, but now he's got the Jets coming up, which is not a fantastic matchup, even though Carlos Hyde had his way with them yesterday. Mm-hmm. But Jay Ajayi, you mentioned Kenny Stills. Landry had a pretty good day, and a lot of people have been down on him. He's had two productive days. But now, you know, Ryan Tannehill, usually, you know, that's his favorite target is Jarvis Landry. So it's certainly concerning with all of these guys. I don't know if Matt Moore can get it done. He got Jets and Buffalo. So I guess that's good news for Jay Ajayi, who had over 200. He's the other back that had over 200 yards against the Bills defense. So not great news in Miami. This is a team who's fighting for a playoff spot, and they could get in because Baltimore and Pittsburgh are going to play each other, and it's going to be one of those two teams, I believe. And then Dante Moncrief, another guy who got hurt last night.
Oh, my goodness.
Hamstring injury. Yeah. So there's some big names out there, and a lot of top-tier wide receivers were pretty disappointing. They're pretty disappointing yesterday. Julio didn't play. Antonio Brown was just so-so. Mike Evans was just so-so. So there's a lot of, you know, borderline, I want to call them borderline wide receivers, but we'll get into them with Adam Azer. Yeah. Nobody wanted to play Robbie Anderson, Ashley.
We've been talking about him all last week.
We'll get to him a little bit
later on.
Great again, and only 2% ownership. So you might have to just cut your ties with some of these big names. Allen Robinson is another one, and just kind of get other wide receivers who are widely available. They're just going to get a lot of volume.
It's really a shame about Dante Moncrief because he's been okay. His yardage really hasn't been there, but he's had 5 touchdowns in his last 6 games, more than anyone on the team, more than T.Y. Hilton. He's really been the main point scorer for that team, the main target in those situations. So that's a huge downtick for him. I do want to just say something about Matt Stafford, though. Although he did have his injury, he recorded his 8th fourth quarter comeback of the season, which is a new NFL record, something that was established in 1970. He beat Peyton Manning's old record. He had 7 fourth quarter comebacks in 2009. But to your point, it becomes a real big problem because to me, fourth quarter comeback probably means airing it out a couple times, making some big plays.
Yeah, good call.
If you can't grip the ball, if your ligaments are damaged, you're probably not going to be in a position to be successful when you're down.
And you saw that Giants. And you saw that Giants defense last night, pretty good. I know we got to get out of here a break. I thought there was going to be a lot of snow in the game. I just want to say one thing: the last time, and it's been a couple years since the Pats played Baltimore and the best, like one of the best run D's ever.
Yeah. Ever in life? I'm like waiting to see where you're going with this.
I just want to say, like, Brady threw the ball. Like, a lot of people are down on Brady this week because you can't pass and you can't run up Baltimore. But it's like Tom Brady, Monday Night Football, primetime at home. He threw the ball 50 times the last time that they played the Ravens. And they only ran the ball a total like 7 times, and Brady had 6 carries. Blunt had 3 carries in that one game. I don't think this is a big Blunt game. I think it's going to be a lot of Brady.
It's just like when anyone plays Cleveland, you expect at least a 20% jump in production. When the Patriots are playing, you don't really expect a defense to influence them too much. Maybe a slight drop, 10%.
And all the rumor, I thought all this, I'm not a weatherman here, Ashley's a weather girl, but all the snow I thought from Toronto was going to go, weather woman, I thought it was all going to go down to New England. Apparently it's not, but remember the last time Brady played in the snow on primetime? For like 100 touchdowns.
No problem. 100 touchdowns. We're going to actually check that fact with Adam Azer from CBS coming up next. See if Brady had 100 touchdowns last time in the snow. We'll be back on FSD.
I mean, 101.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you, and we're going to be joined by someone we're very excited to talk to. Adam Azer from CBS Sports jumps on the show today to talk about filling some holes from some of these injuries that we saw on Sunday. Hi, Adam. How are you?
I am doing well. I survived a few Melvin Gordon leagues, so I'm okay.
Oh, that's really good news. Congratulations.
Should we just start there? Let's start there. I mean, we don't know the MRI yet. We don't know the results of the MRI. He's scheduled for one today with dealing with a hip injury. Kenneth Farrow was pretty good yesterday filling in. The yards per carry, I mean, just okay. 16-55. Could do worse, obviously. But encouraging to me, 6 targets, 6 grabs. I don't know if he's the number one guy if you need a back, or maybe you want to touch on Bilal Powell. We don't know the situation with Forte either. We are live today, so we don't know some of those details. But what's your take on Farrell just moving forward the rest of the way? Is he somebody that you can just play in every single, like this week especially, if there's no Melvin Gordon around?
Yeah, well, look, they have great matchups. We've been excited for San Diego's matchups for a while now. Philip Rivers hasn't exactly taken advantage of it, but hopefully Kenneth Farrell can. I prefer Powell. If I were going to pick up either Powell or Kenneth Farrell, I would pick up Powell. I just think he's a better player. Farrell had an instance in the yesterday's game where he got beat in pass protection. There was a strip sack and a fumble recovered by Carolina. But look, they are just going to force feed whoever the running back is in San Diego. 16 carries and 6 catches, and no other running back got a carry after Melvin Gordon got hurt. As far as Powell goes, you know, he's got the Dolphins. They're a much, much worse matchup, I would say, than the Raiders, but still not a bad one. And I think he's a pretty good player, and I think he's going to be involved in the passing game as well. So I think they're both pretty exciting options. In fact, I think I would start both of them over Mark Ingram at Arizona. You know, if you have I would start him over Tevin Coleman if people are making that decision, even after he had his good game. Yeah, well, they're playing San Francisco. I probably still would, to be honest. I think they're definitely number two running backs if Forte and Gordon are out in Week 15.
Yeah, and Melvin Gordon, just for people who don't know the update, he said he's going to play, best case scenario, 50-50. And then Matt Forte said he heard cracking and popping in his knee, but he's sure that there's no ligament damage, although he has had some experience in this area. So we might be able to take his word for it in this instance. I want to talk to you a little bit about Ryan Tannehill, because it was very devastating to watch him and his teammates after he left the game, and the news about the potential ACL tear, something that will be confirmed a little bit later on. So Matt Moore comes in. Kenny Stills gets a few touches. Jay Ajayi could have had a better day, 2 touchdowns potentially that he went without in that game. What do you take for in this Miami situation? Do you think Matt Moore is serviceable? Is he an okay streaming option? Because we were talking about some quarterbacks a little bit earlier who have tough matchups coming up.
Yeah, Adam, Brady, Denver, Ben, Cincinnati, Luck, Minnesota, Stafford dealing with the finger, Giants, and Breeze, Arizona.
This week 14 was the worst quarterback week of the season, just in terms of actual fantasy production. The number one quarterback had his lowest output of the season. It was Rodgers and Matt Ryan. They had 27 fantasy points and 6 points for passing touchdown leagues. That's the lowest of any number one. The number 12 quarterback, there were two, I think Matt Barkley and one other guy, 14 fantasy points. That's the lowest for a number 12. So this was awful. Week 15 might be even worse. Like you said, the quarterback matchups are brutal. I am not looking forward to Matt Moore. I don't have faith in him. I think he's probably one of the better backups, but I haven't seen him in a while. And I think they're done. I don't think they're done winning games. I think they're going to beat the Jets, and they could even make the playoffs. But I think these guys are done being reliable fantasy options. I'm willing to drop Devontae Parker, who I'm a big fan of. I don't know. I feel like Landry might be better with Matt Moore, you know, than he was with Tannehill for the most part. But I think it's brutal. I don't have much faith in Ajayi right now, unless they can get all 5 of their offensive linemen back and healthy, which doesn't seem to be the case. I'm really selling the Dolphins offense.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, that's fair. And I like your comment. Matt Moore is probably one of the best backups, second only to Tony Romo. Slight margin, though. Just a slight margin.
Slight margin for sure. Ty Montgomery is someone that we talked about. I think we may have even talked a few weeks ago about him with you. Somebody who was picked up a lot in CBS leagues. He's still having around 43% ownership. And then yesterday, he had the most snaps out of all the backfields. It'd be 30 of 54. Christian Michael, 17. James Starks, only 7. Found the end zone. Rodgers dealing with a calf injury. Is Montgomery somebody that maybe you would start over some of these other borderline guys that we've been talking about?
Well, Montgomery's ownership is lower in CBSSports.com leagues because we don't have him as a running back. We sort of decided it should be up to the commissioner. And in the leagues I was in, most of the people didn't want Montgomery to be RB eligible. They thought it really would have affected how much fab they bid on him or how aggressive they would have been on waivers had he been RB eligible. So they didn't want that. But, you know, in other leagues and other websites, he is RB eligible and should absolutely be owned. My whole thing on Montgomery was, like, he's clearly the best running back that they have there. He's better than Christian Michael and he's better than James Starks, but he never scores. How is he ever going to score? Of course, he scores against Seattle of all teams. I still think it's a little dubious, you know, counting on him to get into the end zone. But I think if you're looking for a safe number two running back, Montgomery is a good-looking running back. Every time he touches the ball, he looks like a running back. I think he will make that transition. And I think he's going to dominate the carries and against the Bears could have a really nice game. So, oh boy, I guess I would still put him, though, behind Powell and Farrow if we get more information about Forte and Gordon and it's trending the wrong way, because I do think those guys have a much better chance to score.
That was my next question. I'm like, okay, if we're doing hierarchy, if we're doing backup running back totem poles, where does he stand? But you answered it for me. So that's why
you're what I do.
That's why you're one of the best. I was just going to say that. Let's talk about Robbie Anderson for just a minute, because it seemed like a lot of people didn't buy into the hype. And he had a great matchup against San Francisco, and he had his best game of the season, 6 of 11 for 99 yards, granted against San Francisco, as I mentioned. But he seems to be a favorite of Petty over there. Brandon Marshall didn't do much. He was double-teamed. Quincy Enunwa didn't do much. He had a couple targets, but didn't really get much in yardage. Anderson, going forward, is he a viable option even with Petty throwing?
Well, I think only with Petty throwing, because it's obvious that they have a chemistry. They've been backups together. They've sort of developed that, and it's carried over into the games. And boy, the first game against Indianapolis on Monday night, he had double-digit targets, and it was all after halftime. So, yeah, obviously Petty likes him, and two good games in a row for Robbie Anderson. Look, he's definitely the kind of guy that could burn you, like Ladarius Green did this week. But that's kind of what the waiver wire is. There really aren't that many short things. I doubt I'm going to really be putting too much of a priority on him, but it's only because the teams that I still have into week 15, I'm probably going to have three left. I'm good at wide receiver, and I don't really need him. I don't know that he's going to be good enough where you have to pick up Robbie Anderson so you prevent your opponent from having him. But I definitely see an appeal for a guy who's 2% owned in CBSSports.com leagues. Probably is going to be the Jets' best wide receiver. That's my guess. Jets' best wide receiver rest of season. Yeah, he's taking advantage of good matchups. But we could have said the same thing about Malcolm Mitchell.
Yeah.
And then he had a third good game, and the matchup wasn't nearly as favorable. It just seemed like Brady likes Malcolm Mitchell. Petty likes Robbie Anderson. There's definitely reason to go and pick him up. If you have a guy that you just kind of doing, like Cole Beasley. Drop Cole Beasley right now and get Robbie Anderson.
Would you drop Calvin Benjamin?
Yeah.
Pick up Anderson?
I would, because the only reason I wouldn't is if I fear somebody playing Calvin Benjamin against me.
Okay.
I don't remember Carolina's matchup off the top of my head this week, but Calvin Benjamin appears to be running out of steam. They said they brought him back from the injury too early. How long does this guy have to be bad before we just cut ties? I would drop him.
Well, there's a lot of big-name wide receivers we said off the top of the show. Obviously, Julio got hurt. Eldrick Robinson, 51 of 58 snaps. I don't know if he's appealing to you. If you're a Julio owner and he doesn't play next week and you got the option, maybe you can put Ty Montgomery in wide receiver in CBS
Alshon's
leagues. Alshon Jeffrey's coming back. Dontrell Inman's got a touchdown in 3 straight games. Marquise Lee over Allen Robinson. There's a lot of Brandon Marshall, Ashley mentioned. There's a lot of big-name wide receivers who are just not doing anything. If you own any of those big-name wide receivers that are not doing anything, is a guy like, you know, Robinson or maybe Aldrick Robinson is a guy maybe that you could lean on, or just no thanks, I'd rather someone
else. I
got
a name for you. Okay. I like Adam Thielen.
Okay,
he's
Thielen,
100% owned. He's facing Indianapolis, and he's playing really well right now. I asked on our podcast this morning who's the best Vikings wide receiver rest of season, and the two guys I do the show with on Mondays, Heath and Chris, both said Stephon Diggs, which is fine. But I think Thielen's role is increasing. And I like him better. I'm not so sure about Aldrick Robinson. That seems like kind of a shot in the dark. But Robbie Anderson, Adam Thielen are better options. Marquise Lee is not a bad option, but if you look at the last 2 weeks facing Denver and Minnesota, it's really no surprise that Allen Robinson had bad weeks. We said to sit him, so we can't sit here and go back and be, oh, Allen Robinson stinks or whatever. We knew he was going to have two bad weeks. He's facing tough matchups. I think this week will be better for Robinson. I don't know if it'll be great, but I think he'll be better than Marquise Lee this week. So I think the two wide receivers I'd be most interested in that are widely available are Thielen and Anderson, and if I had to prioritize, I would go Anderson over Thielen.
All right, we like it. Thank you so much, Adam. We got to get out of here, but we really appreciate your time, and good luck in your three leagues that you're still alive in.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right,
take it down.
And then Carolina playing Washington Monday night this week. So.
Well, the wide receivers are just not getting open for Cam, and the line is an issue there.
Everything's an issue over there, but what's not an issue is when guys get a ton of touches and they're on your roster. So we're going to talk about that, the Week 14 Touches Leaders on FSD. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We're going to take a look at the targets leaders for Week 14. Maybe this will give you some indication if you're having a lineup controversy, who you should start, who's getting the volume. We have the Denver wide receivers at 1 and 2. T.Y. Hilton gets the uptick after Moncrief is injured. And then Zach Ertz, fly Eagles, fly Chris, because they're flying right out of the playoff picture.
They're flying, Zach Ertz
is still doing okay. 13 targets.
It's funny now. Well, we did say, you know, there's really...
This is tough for you. Okay.
This is tough because it doesn't really mean anything. But the last three games that Ertz has played against Washington in December, he's got 48 targets, 38 catches, and 349 yards. And we said that he just dominated that team. It dominated that team this time of the season. 13 targets, 10 catches, 112 yards yesterday. This is the only thing that I'm just looking at here. This is the Eagles team who can't run the ball. Smallwood is done for the season now. Sproles is dealing with an injury. He got smoked. They got Ryan Matthews back. They got Baltimore next week, who you cannot run on. This is a team that throws the ball like 60 to plus times, honestly, like 40 plus times. Ertz is going to continue to get a lot of targets. He is probably going to win somebody a championship, and he might have won somebody a championship last year this time of the year and the year before this time of the year. There's just something there. Baltimore, as I mentioned, and then the Giants is a great matchup for him as well. So just keep an eye on that when you're playing DFS. He's tight end two this week.
And we talked about not being able to trust guys on bad teams. Corey Coleman probably being one of those, 11 targets. Robbie Anderson, 11 targets, who we were just talking about with Adam. He was a bright spot who not only got the targets but took advantage of them.
Yeah, I really like Robbie Anderson, actually a lot more than I think a lot of people do. Corey Coleman, as you mentioned, 11 targets, 3 catches, 26 yards. Terrell Pryor only had 3 targets, 1 catch. I wouldn't play any of these guys the rest of the way. If I own them in my roster and I'm in fantasy football semifinals, I don't want anything to do with any of these guys. I just don't like what's going on in Cleveland, obviously. Buffalo and San Diego next. You can run on Buffalo. Sometimes you can't throw them. Robbie Anderson, as you mentioned, 2 games now, back-to-back games, 23 targets, 10 grabs, 160 yards, and a touchdown. Petty just throws his way. After the game, he said he's most comfortable with him. He's the wide receiver he knows the most in this offense, dealing with him in OTAs and in practice. So he's got wicked cool hair.
He's got the Coolio hair.
Yeah, and just... I think you could just get away with playing him the rest of the way. I would play him over some of these big, even Calvin Benjamin. I mean, some of these big guys, I would play him
what
over.
What about Jamison Crowder? He had a disappointing week this week.
I would still play Crowder.
Crowder over Anderson.
Yeah.
But Anderson over Benjamin.
Allen Robinson, Calvin Benjamin, Brandon Marshall.
Chris Meany, Ashley Docking. We got to get out of here. Thanks for joining us on FST. We'll see you tomorrow.
Andrew Reed.